This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The 2-1. Ground ball to second. This could be the ball game. Horner's got it. Throws to first. Cubs win the ball game. Victory number one for the Cubs this season as they beat the Diamondbacks here in Phoenix by a score of 10-6. And Ron, it's always both gratifying and a relief to get that first win under your belt.
Once you pitch. Got him swinging. Strike three. Cam Boozer finishes it off in the ninth. And the White Sox with their first home win to open the season since 2014. An 8-1 win. Southside, stand up.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Sox win 8-1. You just heard the end of it. Cubs win 10-6. You just heard the end of that. And let's not forget about the Bulls, the Bullies, with the 119-117 victory over the LA Lakers on the last minute shot. What if you had that three-team parlay?
What if you had that parlay?
Seriously.
Fantastic.
They'd have to pay you $1 billion.
Oh.
They'd have to. You'd own a casino.
Who saw it coming?
Who would
that doesn't
those,
happen often.
Who would pick those three teams?
No. Not gonna, on the same day.
Are you going to play them the
I
next
did,
time
I
they
did.
Do?
It was one of my bets. I did pick it.
You picked all three?
Yeah, I picked,
and
I picked
played
it on the new Bet365 app.
Oh, you that. Did?
And how?
They were all underdogs, but I think only bet. I haven't checked yet. I bet like $5.
Oh, well, you need to check that out.
You may have earned over
$6,000. All three were underdogs? The Sox were an underdog? The worst team
I think they were. Matter of fact, now I'm thinking about it. I think they were the favorite.
They were favorite.
They were
probably.
Favorite. The Bulls are underdogs, and the Cubs are underdogs.
Yeah, I think
how
that probably makes
Sox
sense.
Favorites?
Well, they're home opener. The Angels are a bad team.
I know, but.
They're bad. Nonetheless, what happened yesterday doesn't happen in sports cities like Chicago lately. Every game provided fun.
I mean,
what is this fun you speak of? Fun is a four-letter word in Chicago.
You are so right. Those games, you know, they were all, except for the Bulls, comfortable wins. Like the Sox. You know, you were holding your breath a little.
Well,
bit.
The Sox was that was a one-sided game.
But they were up 3-0, and they loaded the bases, and Clevinger's on the bump, and you're kind of like, yeah.
Well, you're always a little bit like
you
that.
You know, Soler is at bat. You remember him.
I remember him.
He used to hit home runs every once in a while. So that could have been a really bad moment. I'm just saying, there was a – then they immediately – score
the only reason you say that is because you're conditioned to expect it.
Oh, I am. No, I'm
and
totally,
not just you, but us collectively.
As a city?
Yes.
Okay. I the next time all three of our teams play together, I'm going to do a three-team parlay.
Oh, that it might be
it'll
soon.
Never happen again?
That means tomorrow.
Is that when it happens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow they all three play again.
Well, there you go.
You've got the Cubs still in Arizona. Well, the Angels still here to play the Sox. And the Bulls are hosting the Mavericks. So put your money where your mouth is, Mr. Mulligan.
No, I didn't know it was coming that quickly. And I apologize. And I'm not going to. There's no way.
You have little faith.
Not well, okay. I missed it.
It may happen again tomorrow. It could very easily happen again that all three teams would win. I don't think that we would have that kind of euphoria, though, based on the way the Bulls won their game. That was
so the Bulls will beat Dallas
unprecedented
more comfortably?
If the Bulls beat Dallas, my guess is, going out on a limb here, it won't be because of a 47-foot half-court shot at the buzzer. Okay. It might be a different method to success. So they could still have success. And I think the way the Bulls are playing, it's hard to pick against them right now. They're doing everything right. Billy Donovan, at the risk of who did we alienate yesterday besides Tim Brando, that Billy Donovan was our guy. And they're like, well, you know, you guys aren't seeing this. You're not seeing that. This team is clicking on all cylinders. They are playing unselfish basketball. The ball is moving. And this team is conditioned to outlast teams in the fourth quarter.
Was that the best win of the season?
I think so.
First, I was going to say the other Lakers game, but this one was just
amazing. The other Lakers game qualified as a candidate as well. The Bulls have had in this 9-2 stretch several games that would qualify as the best win of the season because they're just playing intelligently, they have intensity, and they are playing together. It's fun to see a basketball team play together as well as the Bulls are right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're playing great for themselves. I never thought the Sox were going to win that game. I didn't.
Well, let's talk about why you both, during the pick six, identified Will Venable as the thing that was the biggest takeaway, the element that was the biggest takeaway. What was it about, whether it was the lineup construction or the decisions that were made? Because I would agree with you guys, Sox fans, that say, boy, it feels a little bit different, looks a little bit different. It's nice to have a manager you trust to make those right decisions.
Well, I think the first decision is whether you're going to try to get another inning out of Sean Burke or not. Like, how many pitches had he thrown? I was sitting there thinking he might have another inning in him. I mean, he went six, but Will Venable was like, no, that's enough.
That's enough.
And I just didn't know what to make of their bullpen. But he felt it was enough. And guess what? It was enough. And then you get into the eighth inning where you have trouble and you got first and third and you're kind of like, oh, this is not going to end well. And he goes immediately to Clevinger, who is his, we had been told he was going to be the closer. So he's his high leverage guy. And he comes in and he's smart enough, veteran enough to pitch around Mike Trout and he walks him. So you got the bases loaded, you got Soler up, and then he gets the job done. In the big moment, your leverage guy strikes out Jorge Soler.
That was the closest thing to a suspenseful sequence yesterday.
It's a good move by the manager.
It was a good move by the manager. And I think when you look at leaving or pulling Burke when he did and not leaving him in there after 73 pitches.
Yeah.
I think he would have opened himself up to second guessing even if the seventh had gone okay, but 73 pitches for the first start of a guy who hasn't really established himself as a top of the rotation starter was the right move.
But that's, you know, I mean, we talked about, I was hoping if you get four scoreless innings.
We said four yesterday.
He gave you six.
He gave you six.
Six scoreless innings.
And these days, you're thrilled when you get six innings out of your starter.
That means the guy won the game. He stayed in long enough to win the game. That's awesome.
He felt very gratified post-game.
He was wonderful.
He remains very humble.
Very humble.
And that's what it is about guys who were part of this, even a small part of this last year, and now they come into the spring training, and we talked about it yesterday, relatively anonymous, unproven. A lot of this roster is very unproven. You wonder the guys just trying to stay in the majors.
The other thing is they then score runs. They like the White Sox. That's one thing that they never did was add on a run. You know, put themselves in a position. They put the game out of reach with the five runs
with the long ball.
With they got three long balls
they
out
didn't
of the
have
game.
Power.
I didn't think they had power at all.
A Sosa homers in Chicago. On opening day. When's the last time that happened, Cubs fans? Lenin Sosa, Austin Slater.
Austin Slater, a solo shot in the second. That's when they scored the three runs.
He hit the first one.
The first run of the game came from him.
Of the season.
That's a trivia question.
It
doesn't happen all the time, right?
You
don't always score the first run of a season.
Austin Slater. And then we got a Benny bomb.
Benny bomb!
Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, three-run Benny bomb.
I have a lot of respect for what he did to put himself in position to even play yesterday.
Broken bone in his hand.
I don't know what the pain threshold is, if you have to overcome that. I don't know enough about the specific injury. But all I know is like 18 days ago or whatever it was, he broke his hand.
I was very suspicious of him being of any value this year after he broke his hand. And when we talked to Ozzy before the game, if you recall, I was asking him, like, kind of, why is this guy on the roster more or less? You know, he's the highest paid free agent on the team and it hasn't lived up. Well, he delivered.
He delivered.
He delivered at a big moment. So
yes,
there's
he did.
No way around that.
And it was nice to see. And he's batting third in the order.
And once they got those three runs, you're kind of like, okay, get to the ninth, mow him down, you're laughing. But no, they added two more on top of that with the Sosa homer.
It was so good you didn't want them to take today off to
you know what?
Delay the momentum.
That is totally true. And I knew they had the day off, but we'll be back Saturday. I thought, nah, you know, push it. Let's go. Win a series. But I do appreciate that the manager seems composed. And it was really interesting to hear Ozzy talk about, because Ozzy wasn't like that. Ozzy was kind of emotional, and we know that. But he is impressed.
Well, Ozzy was shot out of a cannon every opening day.
Well, right.
And pretty much every day.
But every day.
But talking and
always.
In a much different style, much different personality.
And this is more of a quiet, thinking man's manager. He looks like a manager. I'm just impressed with the guy because they won a game.
Well, yeah, it's just
That's all it is.
Different in personalities. But it's fun to hear Ozzy talk about this White Sox team and put things in perspective in the way that only he can. And he did a nice job yesterday on the pre and post game show doing just that.
He did.
So
great job.
It's fun. And what a great view that is from that studio. The ballpark out on the fourth level. And it oversees the field. And it's just like, wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
I mean, they had a camera shot, too. It's like they used one of those
drones,
and they came over the thing, and it was like they were coming through the smoke and the state. It was
a fun day at the ballpark.
Shot.
There's no doubt about it. It was great to be out there.
Congratulations!
And it was a lot of fun. And they did a nice job. And the Sox winning makes everything feel a little bit better too.
And we already know how good a manager Craig Counsell is. And I felt that he did respond to the lineup from the two games in Japan to that.
Moving Matt Shaw down to eighth is not insignificant because I think
part of it is Horner's back.
Yes, Nico Horner is back and he had two hits. So he lengthens it as well. Nico Horner batting sixth. Ian Happ leading off.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that goes. And PCA was at the seventh spot. Dansby Swanson, I think, has had a good enough spring to justify batting him where they did. And so it does have the makings of a very potent offensive lineup. It was last night. Miguel Amaya getting a big hit. That was huge. So the Cubs did what they needed to do. They scored 10 runs. Justin Steele was good enough. And they won comfortably. They don't have the day off, right? They're playing tonight. And it'll be first pitch, 8:05 pregame right here on the Score. Jameson Taillon, Merrill Kelly. So J-Mo is going tonight.
Yeah, J-Mo's good.
Yeah, you need.
He's just solid, right?
He's solid. Don't yeah, I like the way, again, that Council went from Steele to Jameson Taillon, and now Shota will be tomorrow, breaking up the lefties in the rotation.
Right. And then that also will allow Shota to be the opening day starter when they get home.
Before we get to the phone calls, one thing did kind of, on a day full of fun
okay.
and unprecedented success in Chicago, there was only
about?
One little thing that kind of niggling it for the Cubs perspective. Did you see who they designated for assignment?
Yes.
The guy they got in the Bellinger deal.
Yes, Poteet.
Cody Poteet.
Yeah.
DFA'd Cody Poteet. So now that Bellinger trade was a true salary dump.
Well, I mean,
we already knew that,
yeah.
But this confirms that.
Well, but
this is the last.
Regardless of whether you had to cut Poteet, that was a salary dump. I think we all knew it.
But now you're getting nothing. You're getting nothing out of that deal.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Just saying. That was a little detail I thought needed to, all right, now the trade, okay. Today's not the day to complain about that.
No, this is not the day. Just but that was weird, and it's worth mentioning, no question about it. All right, 312-644-6767. Let's get to our buddy Jeff. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen from the Great Lakes State. Hey, Tim Brando might be right. Cinderella isn't dead. It happened in the United Center last night, I think. But I'm going to go a little Michigan.
Go ahead, buddy. I'm
sorry. Michigan-centric here.
Yeah.
Mully, I heard you and Brandon have Michigan winning, but you're kind of doubtful. I don't think you need to be doubtful. I don't know how Auburn's getting 9.5 points, but Auburn has not really shown up yet in this tournament.
And they were bad at the end of the year. That's why I kind of fell off them a little bit.
Well, we got two bigs at Michigan, and I think if the bigs play well and they limit the turnovers, I'll do a Dustin and I'll say I don't want the 9.5. I don't need the 9.5, but I'll take the 9.5 against them. And as for David Haugh.
That's a neck rate.
The Sparties, I am hoping you are correct with them, but as we saw last night, three-pointers are a key in this tournament, and Sparty does not shoot well. So hopefully Sparty has a game where they are a little uncharacteristic in hitting threes, and Sparty on, and Michigan on, and Big Ten on. I'll root for Purdue. Let's put the SEC in their place. But you guys have a great show, and yesterday was a great day for Chicago sports.
No question about it.
You're right. Tonight's a big night for the state of Michigan. You're right. College basketball. Wolverines and Spartans.
I got a fifth seed in the Wolverines. They are the longest, the farthest seed other than Ole Miss. So it's a bit of a reach. I understand that. But if I could redo my bracket, I probably would. I'd probably take Auburn. I don't have the – I don't – you want to know what my problem with Michigan is?
What's your problem with Michigan?
I worry about the guard play.
Yeah.
They don't really seem to have a point guard.
No, they don't.
So that kind of
– I think they might be in trouble. I would like to see them
– I'd love to see them
represent
win. The
Big Ten the next round. But
I'd love to see them. And I don't have them winning the title, but I have them getting the Final Four.
College Hoops coverage on the Score brought to you by Bet365. We're talking college hoops because tonight's another big night for the Big Ten, potentially. Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan all have opportunities to, well, I think in Michigan and Purdue's case, upset their opponent. Michigan State, I think, has a chance to advance. And I don't think they shoot very well. As Jeff said, that might be a weakness. But It's hard to pick against Tom Izzo at the stage of this of the tournament.
He only cares about his players and devoting all his attention.
By the way, shout out though, because Jeff did mention it. Thomas Hauk, H-A-U-G-H, Thomas Hauk for Florida.
Oh, he was awesome.
13 points last night.
He was great.
9 boards, doing a little bit of everything, making the family proud.
He did a lot of everything. Conley, the center, got knocked out of the game for a stretch.
Yeah.
It was great to see him come back in, especially if you're
32 minutes for the young man from Pennsylvania, Thomas Hauk.
Oh, he was literally, it was almost as if he and you were all over the floor. He was two people.
No, Akeem is Hauk. They pronounce it Hauk on that side. There was a schism. There's a schism.
There was a schism. Yeah. We've already decided to say there was.
I don't know what the details are. You don't ask in these family situations, there was a schism.
Somehow, something happened in a half-court game, is my guess.
You think so? And we play 3-on-3.
And someone got an elbow.
It was a Gus Macker tournament.
And that, it was like, that's it.
That reunion.
You guys are dirty. I'm driving to Pennsylvania. And I'm going to change the family name. I'm making the GHK. What? You can't do that. You watch me.
How did the GH become a hard K anyway?
It had to do with an elbow that was thrown in a half court game. I thought we discussed this. This is how I'd like to think it happened.
They want to be as far away from that, from my family's pronunciation, the right pronunciation, and just as much as possible, just forget
the
past.
We should have that kid on. You should just tell him, hey,
If they get to the Final Four, we should try to get them on.
Even if they don't, let's just talk it over. Let's try to break through this thing.
His parents call.
Yeah, let's call his parents right now.
Settle it.
Look up H-O-U-K in the what?
Anyway, Hauk. Thomas Hauk, congratulations. The Florida Gators,
great job. They beat
the Crab 5. Derek Queen now can focus on the NBA draft and becoming a Chicago Bull.
Yeah. But let's not talk about him because we're trying to downplay it. Yeah.
No, he'll be there.
Was he the freshman of the year in the Big Ten?
Davis said he was Wendell Carter Jr.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. You want Wendell Carter Jr.
I said that could be a potential floor.
Trying to keep him down.
Yeah, there you go. Don't listen to tamp down those expectations.
Don't
for a second listen to what Kendall Gill called him. You don't want to do that.
No. Moses Malone?
One of the Hall of Famers. Yeah. Oh, come on, man. You're selling him. Don't stop selling that
guy. He had a good game for Maryland.
Reminds me of a young Moses Malone.
No.
A young Moses Malone really did his part.
Play David saying Wendell Carter Jr. No. Wakanda forever.
Stop. We're going to talk to Bruce next.
We got Bruce. We're going to talk to Bruce. I'm guessing he picked it. He knew it. And we're going to let him crow a little bit about both the Cubs and the White Sox. Mully and Haw on the Score.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to the great Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. What a glorious day yesterday was for Chicago baseball.
I think it's going to be like that every day for the entire season.
Promise?
No.
Can you promise that, Bruce?
No, I can't. I can't promise. But I can promise you that just the energy from both teams winning, you know, It's a feel good. It's a reminder that spring is actually on its way here and that baseball's back. What could be better? So let's go. What side of the town are we starting on?
Oh, let's start on the south side because they don't get anybody talking about him. The manager wins his first ever game as a manager. Both Brandon and I this morning are praising some of the decisions he made, the use of Clevinger, the way they went to him in the eighth inning, and the way he got him out of that jam, to pitch around Trout and then strike out Soler.
I got to tell you, he did a really good job. And then they added on runs, which, you know, it was a big bugaboo for the White Sox last year to be able to, even when you got a lead, to be able to add on a late run. They got three home runs. I just feel like the guy had healing hands.
I you know, all that was exciting, but the bullpen was the fun part to me. You know,
right?
You come up with a Southside legend in one day in a guy by the name of Cam Boozer, right? And people are going to have to do their homework on Cam Boozer and follow this 32-year-old guy's trek through being drafted in 2013 out of baseball for 4 years, suspended for smoking some reefer at one point, becoming a carpenter for 4 years, going back to the game, playing for the Chicago Dogs, and coming back last year, first year in the major leagues with the Red Sox. So, you know, again, there's really nice stories all around. The pitching was the key for me, guys. So, you know, you start with Burke.
He was unbelievable.
You work your way around. At 73 pitches, okay? Six innings, you know, tip your hat. That's again, we're not going to get too crazy about the White Sox because it was the Angels, but you have to give them their due for playing a complete game.
I'm very intrigued by Cam Boozer now, Bruce. Yeah, way to whet my appetite for more.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Pete. Are you Peter or Paul?
Bruce.
I know you're not married.
Beyond the bullpen drama and the way that it was used intelligently by Will Venable, I found it interesting, his choice of the lineup in terms of who led off, Miguel Vargas, where they batted Benintendi, and just how other things kind of fell into place. What did you think about the lineup and what stood out to you?
Well, I just, you know, looking at the efficient at-bats, you know, starting with Vargas, okay, and then what did, you know, we talked all spring about, well, if they're going to win, it's got to be Robert, Benintendi, right, and Vaughn, okay? And Vaughn didn't have a great day. Benintendi, you know, hit the big bomb. That was a huge part of the game yesterday. But other people are going to have to step up, and Vargas is certainly one of them at this point, you know? And he played a good game. The White Sox played a clean game as well. Both teams played clean games defensively. Those are things you look at, you know? Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know if there's any one thing other than the fact that, as you guys just pointed out, there's confidence in this manager from the way you look at it from the outside. And I think talking to the players all spring training and just seeing these guys come in and play ball, there's confidence there. It's not going to be enough to win, you know, 85 games, but it's enough to have a start in an organization. Give Chris Getz, you know, credit for picking out the right guy, and Venable seems to be that way. Now, again, it's one game.
The Cubs, I think they did a good job of taking advantage of what Zach Gallen was giving them. I mean, it was weird to see an all-star pitcher struggle in the way he did. It's just an opening game. Justin Steele was better than he had been in Japan. I don't know that he was great, but he was better than Gallen on that day. And, you know, the Cubs took advantage, got some walks. Ian Happ had a big day. I mean, what can you say? Whether you like him as the leadoff guy or you're hoping that PCI eventually gets in that spot, I thought he played really well.
Right, and you know, they took it, as you guys were talking about this morning, they took advantage of things. Pete Crow Armstrong's hustle to get to second base in the fifth inning to keep that rally going there where they scored three runs was huge. You know, most normal guys are out at second base. He hustled into a fielder's choice, being able to get there and stay there. So the little things are going to add up. A clean game again. You know, the thing that I think we've probably missed about the Cubs this year is they're going to be able to really run the bases, okay? You have the potential of Armstrong, Shaw, Workman, Horner, and your right fielder in Mr. Tucker all with the capability of stealing 30 bases. In Armstrong, you got a guy that could steal 60 or 70 bases pretty easily, if that's the direction this offense wants to go. So there are different options for Council this year as far as how they score runs. Home runs, you know, they're not looked at as a great home run team, but I think that they have the potential to hit. You know, Amaya and Kelly could combine easily for 20 to 25 home runs, drive in 75 to 80. Those are parts of the offense that really haven't been there for a few years.
So, obviously, Nico Hoerner coming back makes a difference. He had two hits, so the lineup would be different than it was in Japan already. But, Bruce, how do you explain what I felt like was a smart move, but Matt Shaw batted fifth in Japan, and he's batted eighth yesterday. Is that just because Horner's back, or did somebody get the correct counsel?
I just think they have other options right now. Will Shaw eventually be an upper lineup guy? I think so, but for a rookie to take that on, you know, I think that's a little much. And the idea that both Swanson and Hoerner, you know, could fill their role. Swanson all spring long was hitting the ball extraordinarily well, back to being the type of player he was with Atlanta and the first year he played for the Cubs. After having that core surgery last year, I think you're seeing the old guy again back there. He's, you know, what has he got to do? He doesn't have to be a superstar. Defensively, he is. You want 20 home runs. You want 35 doubles. You want him to be a guy that is not striking out every ball game. He does strike out a lot, but I think we forgot how important he was to this offense last year. He just had a bad year, had a decent last couple months, but him being back, as we talked about yesterday, Hoerner being maybe one of the most underrated guys in his own team, there's potential here to have a really good offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was, you know, everybody kind of commented on Cody Petit being taken off the team. You know, you trade Bellinger and you bring him in, and I know that basically you traded a salary, but nonetheless, it's a bad look that the guy can't make the team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, I think we all knew, you just said it, Mike, we all knew what it was, right? Mm-hmm. It was a salary dump, $30 million, and what do you end up with instead? You end up with Presley, right, in his salary. You end up with Tucker in his salary. They went out and got some periphery guys. You know, they signed Boyd, which should be an important part of the rotation. So was the money well spent not having him there? Could they have spent another $30 million? That's another conversation.
It's another conversation. It's a broader one about what the Cubs have at stake this season in terms of Jed Hoyer's future. He has talked about that a lot, Bruce. Thinks he's been pretty open about what's at stake this season. He did it again yesterday. I know you've discussed some things on the Marquee Sports Network, but how would you describe just what you feel like is the overall approach and focus and mindset for Jed Hoyer heading into this year?
Win, baby. Win right now. You know, and I think there will be residual dollars left if they're in contention come in July, late July. I think that's going to be a key element to, you know, their spending this year. They're going to want to try to win the division and then be able to step up in July, the end of July, moving toward August, and purchase other players and have the dollars for that. So, you know, as fans and as media people, we don't always play general manager looking forward. We look at the team right now. And I think the Cubs will have that ability to do that. And, you know, hopefully it sets up Jed for a nice extension in his front office, and they move forward with a good minor league system that continues to supply good players for the team. We know one's going to play right field for Houston, right?
Right. Well, he got a hit yesterday.
Yeah. He's going to be good.
He's going to be great.
Great stuff, Bruce. A lot of fun.
Thanks, Bruce.
Great catching up with you.
See you tomorrow, David.
Oh, yeah. See you tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, yeah. Inside the clubhouse. I'm back.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple general managers then. It should be fun.
Oh, great. Way to go. You should give that Booker a raise, Bruce.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
Well done.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Bruce. All right, we're going to talk to Joe Fortenbaum next. Mully and Haw on the Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. We don't care what part of the country he's in. He's our man in Vegas.
Wherever he is.
We've decided on that, and we're going to stick with it. And Joe Fortenbaugh joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo Tires, new tires for spring. You got to get them, aturo.com. Joseph, how are you, sir?
This is a curious decision, gentlemen. It's a very curious decision. I have long regarded you two to be one of the premier morning shows in the country, and that's not me blowing smoke. I know a lot of people would agree. I've always held 670 to Score in very high regard as well, and yet here you are on a very big Friday bringing on a guest who was 0-10 with his picks last week. It's a very curious decision, Joe, to make. From a producing standpoint, from a radio standpoint, what are we doing?
That's why, Joe, though, Joe, you own it. You are accountable.
I mean, hey, you know how hard it is to go 0-10? If you can do that again, we can go the other way and clean up.
Oh, wow.
Mully, surprise. It's actually not that hard to go 0-10. That wasn't my first time, okay?
Yeah, but this week it'll be better. God. This weekend's going to be better, Joe. It's kind of feeling.
You like to believe it. And you know what? This we can laugh. Because the important thing is, if you're managing the bankroll properly, you're going to go through times like this. You can laugh rather than panic. But for anyone who's hearing this while we're having a good time with it, remember, that's the key. So much of the focus comes on, you know, who are we picking? What's the angle? What's the edge? Just as much focus needs to be paid to bankroll management, all right? So always keep it within means. I know we like to have fun here,
right,
but let's make sure we're doing it smart, so that we can laugh about these things rather than really dig ourselves a hole. See, that's what Joe Fortenbaugh does. He brings it all the way around. People helping people.
Joe, you are now an honorary Irishman, according to one texter. You're O Fortenbaugh.
Oh, for yeah. Well, I mean, the great city of Chicago, I would like to visit, but I feel like after what happened last week, I shouldn't set foot anywhere near the Midwest.
You're always welcome. You are definitely always welcome. So how are we seeing tonight unfold, Joe?
As a favor to the whole city, I should pick the White Sox to lose every game. You guys will win the World Series. The I'm on.
Well, you couldn't have picked that one yesterday, I'm sure. That was I don't know if you're aware, Joe, but we had the Sox, the Cubs, and the Bulls all in the same day. City of winners.
Oh, my God. The giddy shot was awesome. And the Bulls have been very spunky here late in the season, which is nice to see as we get ready for the playoffs. But I don't want to run up against the clock here. I tend to ramble on, as my wife tells me, on a repeated basis. So to the business at hand, we'll look at some of the plays for tonight. You guys jump in and redirect me as you see fit. We'll open with Michigan State. We'll lay the 3.5 over Ole Miss. The key to this game comes down to two factors. Number one, rebounding. You're going to hear a lot about this today. Michigan State's one of the best rebounding teams in the country. Ole Miss is one of the worst rebounding teams in the country. Sparty's going to own the glass. Factor number two, Ole Miss has been red hot this tournament from the floor. 51% field goal shooting, 49% from deep. So there's a little bit of regression on the horizon for them. Now on top, this is unbelievable. I'm trying to talk here on a radio show and this studio starts blasting music. Can you believe such a thing would happen to me when I'm doing this? But back to the business at hand, that's going to be the issue for Ole Miss. They're going to get limited tonight. And on top of that, there's a bonus play here. We want to look at a prop. Michigan State forward Jackson Kohler over 6.5 rebounds. Because of Ole Miss's issues, combined with the fact that Kohler's averaging 7.5 rebounds per game this season, it's a great matchup and it's something he does regularly. We'll take Sparty minus the 3.5. We'll take Kohler over 6.5 rebounds. As we work our way down the list, I'm going to play Kentucky plus the 4.5 against Tennessee. Now, when people look at this game, they're going to say, all right, Kentucky's beaten Tennessee twice this season. They were a 10.5-point dog in one. They were a 3.5-point dog in one. Let's take them again because they're a 4.5-point dog. You can look at it like that. Remember, Kentucky was white hot in those two games. Some people believe the shooting will cool off in this one. The thing that stands out to me is that Tennessee has, I believe, 7 losses this season. All have come to teams that rank in the top 40% in pace. Teams that get out and run and play fast give Tennessee problems. Now, you might say Alabama ranks 1 in pace and Tennessee beat Alabama. They did. but they didn't cover the spread. So I'm looking at Kentucky there. I think stylistically it's a bad matchup for Tennessee. I'll take the points with Michigan, 8.5, 9 against Auburn. I'm a little queasy here. Auburn's 3-7 against the number in their last 10 games. The market's been overvaluing them for about a month. But the thing is, part of me feels like they're due for an explosion, and part of me feels like the bottom's going to drop out on Michigan at some point. However, given how well Michigan's coached, the amount of points they're getting and the defense they play, I'm willing to roll the dice here. Smaller bet on Michigan. And then finally, the Houston-Purdue game, that's a first half under at 61.5. Two very slow tempos, great Houston defense. I'm looking at the full game under, but there's always shenanigans late in these games with all the fouling. You can get 15 points in the final minute, which will drive you nuts if you have an under.
Right.
First half under, they can dribble the ball out. So that's going to be the play there. So quick recap, Michigan State minus the points. Jackson Kohler over 6.5 rebounds. Kentucky plus 4.5. Michigan plus 9. First half under 61.5, Houston and Purdue.
That's great stuff, Joe. You are the best. I appreciate it. And
we'll see about that. We'll see about how great that stuff is.
No, I mean, all you can do is present the information, and people have decisions to make.
Yeah, people can make their own choices.
Right.
You're just giving them an informed basis on which to choose.
And I happen to have most of the teams you mentioned. So,
yeah,
I really like.
Yeah. So you're just in full panic mode right now.
Oh, totally. It just makes me feel bad.
Misery loves company,
that's
Joe.
That's it. Well, you can't blame me. So listen, we did.
What are we doing about the draft? I would love to know what the Bears are going to do, because there are some props that are starting to float around, and I need to know what the hell's going on in Chicago.
Are we thinking
running back?
Still think tackle. Yeah. I think the running back is probably a value bet, because it might still be remote as a possibility. You don't know how much Ben Johnson's in love with the running back.
Yes.
Sleeper pick, maybe Tyler Warren if he's there. I don't think he drops to 10, though.
That's Penn State right there, baby.
Yeah. I know. I know who I'm talking to, Joe.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
But
all right. It looks like we're getting everything squared away in Chicago. Everyone's back. It feels like everybody's back.
Well, they're all back.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. The idea that the White Sox won an opener for the first time since 2014.
It's the first time they've been above 500 since 2023.
Oh, my gosh.
Opening day.
It's incredible.
This has got to be like, Mully sees that happen and probably is thinking to himself, you know what? This is probably a sign I should hang it up. I got to retire. This is enough.
How did I have them with 47 wins, and they won the opener. So all of a sudden, maybe I was a little too negative as a Sox fan.
We're drunk with success here, Joe.
That's it.
They did take some over money. See, you'll have these decisions. Like when the Dodgers open up at 105.5 for their win total, most people see it and say, oh, my God, the Dodgers are going to be awesome. Most bettors look at that and go, my God, that number's way too high. You need so many things to go right to win 106 games. I don't think people figure that in. Now, on the flip side, the White Sox actually took over money because, again, you set a prop that low. You need so many things to go wrong in order to cash that under. But, like the White Sox showed us last year, they had no problem watching all of those things go wrong. So this year, that number was so suppressed, there were some sharp guys that jumped on that Sox over, as shocking as it may sound. And now, look at them. That 162-0 is literally on the table in Chicago.
Great stuff, Joe.
You're the best, Joe.
Have
great talking to you, buddy.
Love you, fellas. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears.
He's the best. That's Joe Fortin. I love that he comes on.
Owns it.
He knows it.
He
knows
it.
What happened.
Yep.
It's so much fun. And we get tons of texts about it because everyone knows. All right. We've got a lot to get to. We're going to continue next. We're going to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. It's The Score.